I'm J.B. Bernstein. I'm a sports agent.
Hey.
Who's that?
She's my neighbor. Not my type.
Why? Because she's not a model.
Yeah, stay away from that.
Right now, I'm on the verge of a huge break.
Without this deal, we're done.
What's going on here? Don't tell me you signed a contract with these guys.
This is just business.
Bunch of garage band. I've been having to do that lately, so just watch.
Go.
So we have another based on true story, real life movies. Oh, those are always my favorite because I know that they're never based on true story. They're based on bullshit, probably.
Well, you know, I gotta stop you for a sec because this one actually is true because you and I have talked off before. You know, I'm a baseball fan. You want to know how I know this movie's true?
I know it's true, too, because I'm a baseball fan, so I don't ever interrupt me again. Anyway, you know what I'm saying?
So you know which dumbass team signed both these guys.
I have a dad that played professionally, so what the fuck? You fucked up my joke now, whatever. Shit. We talking about million-dollar arm. The million-dollar arm here. India, the most beautiful, nastiest, disgusting-looking place I've ever seen. India ain't never gonna get its beautiful rights, is it?
No. I mean, they're doing their Bollywood films, but nobody gives a shit in America about those.
Sad part is, India does look like a shithole. No offense, India. They'll even fucking tell you it looks like a shithole. It was funny because I heard one critic complaining that, what were they talking about? Oh, why would these kids just leave their families and go to America? I'm just like, did you see what they did? Is that really a complaint?
Why would they go and leave? Did you look at the place?
Did you look at the kids from Life of Pi's apartment? He had kids living on balconies and shit.
What would you do? Oh, I'm going to keep living in the slums of my family. No, you take the money and run, bitch.
Yeah, you are stupid. What are you talking about? I don't know now one person. That's like going to the damn projects of Compton and asking Dr. Dre, hey, we'll give you $3 billion to sell your headphones to us or whatever. And he tells them no.
I mean, this movie was surreal for me because people, I'm in New York City and I forgot about this. I was enjoying myself today and I texted P1, hey, what do you want to do the review for Godzilla? And he said million-dollar arm too. I was like, the fuck is that? Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it's based on your hometown. Well, not based in your hometown, but based around your team, though.
Yes, yeah, so I scurried my ass to a theater, only to find out that this movie was based on something that I laughed my ass off at 3 years ago with my team.
Actually, this was a, because as much as I don't watch sports as much as I do, but I do go to the games, baseball movies have always been my favorite.
I agree. Mine too.
Baseball,
that's what
baseball movies are just. I think those are some of the best sports movies. Whether they're Disney, serious, Oscar worthy, or whatever. Whether you go back from Rookie of the Year with that kid that played in the goddamn Cubs, or to Moneyball, I like them all.
I even 42 was one of my favorites of last year. 42 just barely missed my top 10.
42 is my favorite too, and I want to say that this movie really isn't that much about baseball.
And you just kind of hit why I don't like it.
It's more about this guy played by John Hamm, which everybody knows. I love me some John Hamm. People are like, why are you not watching Game of Thrones? Because I'm like, I'm watching Mad Men right now. Because that's why.
Me too. Always have.
Mad Men is my shit. So, you know, I'm just saying. I mean, the stylistic of it, I love that shit. So, John Hamm, that guy is incredible. Incredibly smooth. I mean, he just looks like what every man should look like.
I know everyone loves their Walking Dead, but whenever I say what's the best show that AMC's ever done, and people say Walking Dead, I go, no, you go watch Mad Men and you come talk to me.
I think Mad Men gets overlooked because of Walking Dead and Breaking Bad.
I agree. And I think Mad Men's the best out of the three.
And I think even with those two gone right now, I think it still gets overlooked by other shows that's on other networks and shit. But
yeah, it really is a shame because it's one of those shows where, like, I just recently started watching it this year because it was just one of those things where it was on my Netflix list and I finally watched it because I like John Hamm too. I think he's very charismatic.
So you binge watched them?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I really did. I did the definition of binge watching on this series.
That must have been an experience then. I mean, because I personally, I've been watching Batman since day one. I think the ratings are great. Don't get me wrong. It's not like I'm saying like the ratings ain't as good. I think it's going to be higher, if you ask me. But that's Mad Men, though. But I'm not going to lie. This movie reminded me of another movie last year where I don't think it's bad in what it did, but I just think it's very simple and straight to the point. And that's Out of the Furnace.
Yeah.
Where I'm thinking the movie's going to be something more, and what it delivered, it was just simple. Like, I really don't have any negative about, like, how the technical-wise it was done. I think everything in here looked great, shot great, acting was great, chemistry between characters were great and everything like that. But the story, when you get down to it, it's just watered down and simple.
It tries to play the sentimental card way too fucking hard.
I kind of can sympathize. I mean, because look where these kids came from. So, you know.
Yeah, and you sympathize with the kids, but the movie asks you also to sympathize with this sports manager who he's like, I don't have enough money
I don't think the movie asks that at all, personally, because they constantly tell him about it or whatever, and I don't think it was sympathizing on him and his shit at all, because he pretty much has people constantly telling them, people, look, you're going to stop being such an asshole, get your shit together, whatever. Now, his whole appearance of going to India and doing this, people were saying it's a gimmick. Yeah, it's a gimmick. He pretty much tells you how it is. He lives a fast and rich life, which, personally, I don't think there's a problem with that, wanting to keep your money. I mean,
yeah,
it's if you had a lot of money and you didn't try your hardest to keep it by this business you started, then what the fuck, then? I don't think his motivation is wrong, personally.
No, I'm not saying that. It's just, like, I personally liked more when they would sympathize with the Indian kids. Like, that, to me, was a more interesting element of this story. I actually would have really liked if John Hamm's character was just kind of... This is going to sound weird. I kind of would have liked if his character was just out of this completely and it was just centered around the kids and their story about how they got to the majors.
The thing is, another thing is John Hamm's character, even though that description I just gave him, he's not really fully an asshole, though. That's the thing about him. There's parts in here where you just, like, you kind of don't like him, but at the same time, since it's played by John Hamm, you just like his character. But at the same time, you don't understand. It's not like I'm saying you sympathize with him as far as that, but you understand where he's coming from. It's just like he has a business he's trying to sell.
Yeah, his motivation's not out of character.
No, so it plays around with that. I personally never I agree with you on that one. It should have followed them. But I think the movie was going for a point of saying that it really, these kids are not only the focal point of what you need to sympathize with, is mainly trying to say sympathize with this guy that even though he has this money and this house that they constantly
and he's sleeping
about,
with hookers every night,
he doesn't have the family that should sustain him as it is or whatever.
Right.
They just tried to make this a family movie.
Right, and that's the thing where it's like, it seems like he wants a family. I was like, okay, dude, then stop going to the bar and just go to that barn outside your house where you got Lake Bell sitting and just go talk up to her. Which
I'm about to say, that's a lot harder to do than people keep saying. I don't know why people think it's that easy or whatever. Like, you just walk up to some chick, whatever. Trust me, when you get into a fucking mode, you get into fucking mode. I'm telling you this right now. When you get roofied, oh my lord. Oh, you want to fuck everything that walks. Everything.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when you live that lifestyle, when you live in a nice pad, like P1, and you drive a fast little motorcycle or something like that,
I get now why you sympathized with this character.
I don't sympathize with him. I understand where he's coming from. I mean, what's not the... If you had a business and it was failing, what are you supposed to do? You're going to save it. So
right.
The fact that, like, I never heard him once complain, to be honest. Like, there was this time where he was talking to Lake Bell's character, and she said something about a bill or something. He's like, I could barely pay my bills now. That wasn't a complaint. He just said it. He just went along with it, whatever. I don't think he was complaining about it, because if he was complaining about it, he would have been saying something.
I kind of took that as, like, you know, kind of a complaint. But then again,
she asked him a question, though.
Yeah, you do bring up an excellent point in the fact that, like, he doesn't seem as much of an asshole because of the way John Hamm portrays him. Yeah. I honestly do think if it wasn't John Hamm, let's just say, for an example, it was someone like Paul Rudders or Seth Rogen in that role.
Oh, yeah.
He would have looked like a total asshole.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Even, I think Jonah Hill or sometimes or something like that.
Yeah. And you know, that leads me to my next point where I look at something like this, and it kind of made me sad because I was like, wow, John Hamm, he should be getting better than this.
The funny thing is, watching him in this movie, I was looking, I was just like, man, he just has leading man written all over him.
He really does.
Like just looking like, not even paying attention to the movie, I was just watching him, and I was just like, dude, he can not only can carry a film by himself, whatever, but he can work well with other people that don't even speak English and shit, and I was just looking, I was just like, this guy, why isn't he getting as much work as he should be?
Yeah. Someone brought up a very interesting point. My buddy who won me to both movies in New York City, he turned to me halfway through this, it's like, he's the one that should have been the lead in Godzilla, and I was like, oh my fuck, you're right.
He should have been a superhero, too, at that. He probably would have made a nice Captain America.
Well, you remember when he was up for Superman, right?
Actually, I do not remember that, no.
No, he was second. There was actually, I remember reading reports that were saying he got Superman. And then that was just like, lol's JK, goes to this guy, Henry Cavill.
It's because they wanted someone younger, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know, it's not that he looks old or whatever, but he looks right perfect middle age.
He would have been perfect Superman.
Oh, especially if they would have went, because, you know, they're going for this new 52 where he has to be younger or whatever. They would have just jumped right into a Superman where he was just already had his powers and shit like that. That's your perfect man right there. I mean, he has the body build for it. He has the look, the charm, the charisma. Just everything about him just screams leading man of you wanting to see this guy or whatever. But I think Captain America or Superman or something like that, that would have been perfect for him.
Yeah, it's weird because I'm thinking more of like other, you know, lesser known superheroes that I think he'd kill it with.
Yeah, even a Ant-Man.
Yeah, I think he was up for Ant-Man too.
Oh shit! Well, that motherfucker was up for everything. Why is he getting this then?
he's literally like he's one of those guys where he's just getting beat out by other people, and maybe it's because
he needs to get a new agent.
Huh?
He needs to get a new agent.
You know what I think it is though, honestly. I think it might be the fact that, like, the reason he's been held back from so many leading man roles is because he's had to film for Mad Men, and he's like, look, I gotta be open from this time so I can do Mad Men.
I don't blame him. If it was any other lesser show, then I would be like, fuck that show, but Mad Men is pretty huge, so, yeah, and that shit's still going on, even though it's the last season, but...
Yeah. So maybe we will start seeing him get more leading man roles now.
I was
now.
Getting the plot, though, plot.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're 12 minutes into this shit, and we haven't gotten to it.
Yeah, people kind of understand it, I guess. I don't know.
It's not a hard story. I mean, it's John Hamm plays his sports manager who's down on his luck because a bunch of his recent deals have kind of gone belly under. And he decides to come up with this idea, which actually happened, where he wants to go to India after watching cricket matches and try to find two kids that he can mold into national MLB baseball pitchers.
That shit was funny as hell when he described cricket. I was just like, yeah, that's kind of how I thought it was, too, to be honest.
It's baseball on the other side of the country, on the other side of the world.
Yeah, exactly. I was looking at that, I was like, yeah.
And you look at the footage, and it's like, he's not wrong.
Like how they were going to sell it is by saying that bringing over Indian players is it could bring over a billion new watchers as well, viewers as well. So smart business move.
Yeah,
there.
It is.
Risky, but smart.
Just a tad.
Very risky once you see these people start playing. He's just like, oh my God, this shit
yeah.
ain't going to work.
I mean, because what the movie does a good job of setting up, because if you can find clips of the show on YouTube, people suck. At first.
Oh, yeah, they suck horrible. They're throwing 30 miles per hour. I was like, damn, dude, I was throwing faster than that in 12th grade.
I know, my scrawny ass is throwing faster than them. So,
you've seen girls softball that thrown faster
than I was watching, because I was flipping through channels, I was watching on ESPN today. Those girls throw like 60, 70 now with softballs.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, when them arms get to spinning, them arms get to moving. But when they were throwing, I was just like, yeah, you need to call that dude, what was his name? It was, not Rinku, Ash was his name, right? Aesop Mendy?
I can't remember.
I can't remember that guy's name. You've seen him in, the original, the first, Amazing Spider-Man movie, people, though. He worked for,
Oscorp,
whatever. That guy, that Indian guy. I actually like that guy as an actor. Yeah, I would have called that guy and told him, I thought you said they can throw 80 miles per hour here. What the fuck is going on?
Yeah, so just as John Hamm and the crew are like, we're fucked, these two come out of nowhere and hit, was it 73 and 82?
Oh, it was higher than that. They went to this one town where they were talking about that people in this town, these are the real athletes or whatever and shit. And we had guys, like you said, throwing in their 70s and started going up more. But these two came out, which was Madir. I'm going to fuck names up. He was A-Indian. Madir Mattel, who played the niche, and the guy from Life of P1, I mean Pi, Suraj Sharma, Rinku.
I did not recognize he was that guy until halfway through the movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? From the trailer, I didn't recognize him at first.
Call me a racist, motherfucker, but I did not recognize his ass.
You know what? To be honest, from the trailer, I didn't recognize him either, and then I realized, I was like, I know he's in this movie, but I didn't think he'd have a big part in the movie. I thought he was going to be playing, like, the trainer part that trainer guy they had there as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, they start throwing in the 80s and 90s or whatever, and you're like, oh, shit. Even the dude from Life of P1, I mean, Pi, whatever. He has the weirdest stance you'll ever fucking. They called him Lefty.
Tim Lincecum looks at him and goes, alright, I ain't that fucking weird.
I love Alan Arkin's reaction. He's just looking, he's just like, everybody's like, is he gonna throw the ball? And the dude's not gonna head on here. One thing I gotta say about the whole India part, because they spent a great deal of time in India.
Yes, they did.
I actually like some of those parts. I thought that they.
That, honestly, that's where the movie peaked for me.
Yeah.
Was seeing them try to find these kids, and when they found them. It's kind of after that, because after that, it goes into a fish-out-of-water story with these Indian kids, and it's like, I've seen that so many times before, and that's one of, that's kind of a Hollywood genre type I'm not a fan of.
Well, you know what I was going to ask you? The India part, that had to go on for a good 40 minutes maybe, right? 30 to 40 minutes, right?
I thought it was longer. I thought it felt like an hour to me.
It did feel longer than that. So I'm thinking that last part you're talking about, what was that, probably like the last 30 minutes of the film? Because that part kind of went by quick.
I'd say 30, 45.
Okay, yeah, because the movie is 2 hours, people, but it pretty much opens up with him in India. I mean,
yeah.
Like 10 minutes, they're already back in India. And so you're probably about right. It's about an hour. They spend like, I want to say 3 months down there.
Yeah.
Because this all takes place in a time of a year, because this Asian dealer told them they had like 1 year to train someone, and it was just like, ain't no fucking way that's going to happen.
Yeah. And the funny thing is like, when they get back to America, I mean, people who know baseball know how the stories end. These two get signed by, at the time, the lowly Pirates, who are like, we'll take anybody.
Yeah. And to be fair, they did do good in their tryout, so.
Yes, they did. And actually, funny story, I know one of them is still in our farm system. One of them's on Double A.
The one that, the one from Life of Pi guy did, but he never made it to the major leagues, though. He's still in minor leagues.
Yeah, he's on our Double A team, the Indianapolis Curve.
Nobody's just never picked up the major. And the other guy who had the father with the truck and stuff, he did minor leagues for a little bit and sent all of his money back to his family.
And then he, I think he's off the team now.
Yeah, he opened up a school out in India and started training little kids out there and shit.
Yeah, but the other one I know, because he's actually, I looked it up, he's doing pretty damn good, and we might actually need him soon.
Yeah, because I was talking to another critic about this when we saw it, and I was just looking at it, because he's just like, I just don't understand why they would leave India. And I was just like, I don't. You tell me you'd stay? I mean, I think I see the motivation for the guy that opened up the school in India or whatever and shit like that. His father had back problems. He wanted to keep running his own business, whatever, but didn't have the money to do half this shit. So he sent all of his money that he earned in the minor leagues to his family and shit like that. So, I mean, I think a lot of Americans miss the point that coming to America is an opportunity to these people.
Yeah, it's interesting, because, like, I think I've made my point with this movie, where I do like the India stuff a lot, and the India stuff is where it kind of peaked for me, because the rest of the movie kind of becomes a fish-out-of-water story with these two Indian kids, as John Hamm is like, look, this is how you work in America. You want to talk about how you get with a girl? You say you get physical with her. Oops, I didn't mean it like that.
I think because the India part, I think it felt real, well, not realistic, but it kind of like, it felt like Disney played true to the culture.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree with that.
I think that's why you say that that last part felt like a fish out, because it was a fish out of water story. Just like you said, it's any common story you'll ever see. I think, to me, that's the biggest flaw of the movie.
It's kind of boring.
Yeah, it's just simple. It just does what it has to do. So it doesn't do anything out of the norm or whatever. And I think why you love the Indian part so much is because that one felt like it was being true to the culture, and the rest of it was just the simple fish out of water story.
It's not only that. It's just the stuff in the it's just the stuff in India. It involves more baseball, all things
that
considered. It involves a lot more about the mechanics and the elements of what makes baseball baseball. And that's what I really love. I love when movies delve into, you know, why baseball is a hard sport, what makes baseball so fun to watch, and what makes these guys who play baseball so talented. And that's what the Indian part did to me.
I really, because I agree with you completely, I really love the Indian kids that were in there, the two boys they picked.
Yeah, they are the best part of the movie, hands down.
And I have to say, I think what kept the movie going for me, even at that last 30 minutes, is just the chemistry between everybody.
Yeah.
I thought everybody was getting along so well. I was just like, you got two guys that barely can speak English and stuff like that here, and you got Blake Bell's character here who plays a character who lives...
I really like her. I'm kind of upset at the fact that she's really only in this as a love, you know...
If anything, she's the one that set John Hamm's character straight, though.
That's true. That's true. I will give you that.
Than most female characters I've seen this year, to be honest, if anything, because she plays the most important part of the story that Disney wants to tell for the story, which is about John Hamm. So.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But to me, it's like how I said at the beginning, I really do think this movie could have been told as a great baseball story without John Hamm or Lake Bell. I hate saying that because they both do good in the movie. But to me, it's just their characters are kind of pointless in a story about this because I just didn't really care about them. I cared more... Every time they were on screen, I was just like, oh, just go back to the Indian kids, please. I just want to see more about how they're learning baseball.
I was just smiling every time everybody was on screen together. I don't know. It was one of these simple guilty pleasures of mine or whatever where everybody
Fair
got
enough.
Along so well as far
Fair
as...
Fair enough. I mean, hell, we're going to bring up a guilty pleasure of mine here in 20 minutes.
So, just saying, like, everybody that, you know, that I've never seen these actors work together before or whatever. Some of them are new actors, if you will, that I've been seeing in a while. So, for me, it was just the chemistry between everybody. They held it together. It was just something there. But, once again, the story here is just real simple, straight to the point here. Somebody said that they compared it to something like a lot of Disney sport movies or whatever, like Remember the Titans.
I did feel that way. I'm not going to lie.
I telling that person... I just saw Remember the Titans again, which I used to love growing up, but I saw that movie again for a Throwback Tuesday. That movie is actually kind of shit without Denzel Washington, if you'd ask me. Because a lot of actors in there deliver their lines horrible.
Sunshine? You didn't like Ryan Gosling?
They deliver their lines so fucking horrible that if Denzel wasn't there to keep that movie going, I'd just be like, you know what? I don't know none of these people in here. At least I can give the positive about this movie is I thought everybody did what they had to do. But once again, they could have delved into something a little bit greater here. I don't think the effort or the money or anything else was put into it, though, and they just made this simple family story here.
Yeah, I see his comparison with the Disney sports movies, because as I was watching this, I was really – it reminded me a lot of – do you remember The Rookie?
The Rookie, Invictus, Invincible, you know, all those shits.
Yeah, this reminded me heavily of The Rookie, which was kind of this, you know, it was a baseball story where it was more about the human element than the actual baseball itself. And the same problem I had with The Rookie where I was like, I want to see more of the baseball. I don't, you know, this human element, yeah, that's nice to keep the story going, but I want to see the actual baseball and how these skills develop.
I think the trailers sell it as if it's that baseball part, but I think the movie opens up with saying it's going to be a human development movie.
Yeah, and I agree with that 100%. And it's just it's a personal preference of mine where it's just like whenever it does establish that this is going to be a human story, I'm just like, oh, damn it.
Yeah, for me, I didn't give a shit. I was like, whether if it's fine, it's fine. It's nothing. Like I said, for me, it's like Out of the Furnace. Enjoyed it. Didn't have really like major problems with. Like I didn't walk out like going looking at it, go like, ah, I'll never see this movie again or whatever or stuff like that, or comparing it to other films. I was like, I smiled at the end of it, but will I buy it? No. If it was on TV again, I'd watch it, but it's nothing like you need to rush out to see. This to me. I'm gonna be generous here. I'm gonna give it I'll give it a rent.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'll give it a rent. I actually enjoyed this movie a lot.
All right, fair enough. I'm going to give it a stream it just because I think it's one of those personal preferences. I would have loved to have seen just a story of just the Indian kids and how their baseball skills developed. That was way more interesting to me than the human characters. That's not to say the human characters are bad. It's just I personally
they play simple characters.
Yeah, they play simple characters, and I just ended up not really caring about them, all things considered. I wanted to learn more about the Indian pitchers, because this was kind of a weird thing to me, because I remember, as I said at the beginning of this, when this happened, I was like, get the fuck out of here. Like, really? The Pirates are going to sign two kids from India? Like, are we that desperate at this point? But now, after watching this, it's kind of this weird thing where it's like, you know what? If this is how well these kids did in those tryouts, I actually see this as a good move. And that was actually one of the things that really upped this movie for me. I can't quite give it a rent it just because throughout, whenever they get to America, I just got bored as shit.
Another thing is you kind of want to see them succeed.
Yes. Yes, you do. And whenever
it's one thing I'd want these kids the whole time they were doing. I was just like, you know what? Because they, like you said, they spent such a great deal in India. Everybody there says it's a shithole, and people are praising them, telling them this, whatever. This is a huge opportunity for them, and you. Yeah, if anybody that wished ill will on any of these two kids, whatever, you can go fuck yourself, to be honest. I was just looking at it. I was like,
you a racist asshole.
Yeah, I really wanted these kids to succeed. And when they didn't do well because John Hamm's character was just treating them as business things instead of actual, Lake Bell's character, say, kids in here, I was just waiting for them to all just get along together so these kids succeed at this. But
yeah.
Anytime that John Bell. Or not John Bell. God damn it.
John Hamm.
John Hamm says that I want to fuck a supermodel in my nice suit in my big ass home, whatever. That movie's all for me then. Because, you know, hey.
Like I said, you sympathize with this character for a reason. You said, nah, he's a good businessman. I was like, nah, you missed why I said you sympathize with him.
He's a good businessman. Shit.
Oh, wait, I didn't get my rating.
Shit. Broke nigga that don't understand him. I understand where you coming from when you don't like.
Yeah. I just realized I didn't get my rating. I get this stream it.
So shit. I feel this every time I'm at some mansion party looking at ass and titties.
You would take a review where you said, man, this is a nice, lighthearted family film, and I just wanted these kids to see it and make me feel all good. And let me talk to some ass and titties. Ass and titties.
Like, hey, John, his character, he doesn't set. A lot of people saying, like, oh, he's an asshole. Just like, he's not asshole enough, but another thing is, from the beginning of the movie, he tells you what he is and why he wants to do this.
That's true. He is the honest douchebag.
Personally, I don't think there's anything wrong with that if a person tells you, I'm doing this to make money.
I'm doing this for me and fuck him.
If I ask the neighbor right now, why do you do the job you do? To make money, of course. Whatever. I'm not going to fucking... You're a horrible person. Why don't you do it for a little... No, hell no. So,
I know. That's what I say when people ask why I put up with you every day.
So exactly. So shit. So I don't fuck anybody that says they have a problem with that. It's just like, why you do your job then? Exactly. So shut the fuck up, people. Yeah, that's the worst criticism I heard for this review. Not in this review in general, but anyway.
I was going to say, I didn't bring that shit up.
Hey, you didn't say nothing about that. I mean, just like everybody's review and everything.
Oh boy. Good night, everyone.
Later, bastards.
Alternative family thing. Looks good on you.
Do this, partner. Boom.
We've got a major league tryout.
Are you messing with us?
No, I'm not messing with you. You got a tryout. All right, go ahead. Say it.
Did you kiss Miss Brenda?
No. She kissed me.
Oh! Oh, damn it!